I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Following the books of the Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Ecclesiastes 4 at verse 1. You can find that on page 555 in your pew Bibles. Ecclesiastes 4, listen to God's holy word. It says, again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought, the dead who are already dead, more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. And this also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls full of toil and a striving after the wind. Again I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this all is striving after the wind. I'm not sure that we can cover all of this. I believe we'll only get about halfway through the chapter. So far from God, your congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have maybe heard of the book of Ecclesiastes, referred to as one of the books of wisdom, you know, biblical books of wisdom. And in this book, there is good reason to believe, although he's not identified as such, or at least by name, there's good reason to believe that the wise teacher is none other than King Solomon, who says was the wisest man to have lived on this earth besides our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, maybe we feel, and we have reason to feel, that we can barely spare a moment to think. We can barely spare a moment to reflect. But King Solomon devoted himself to the pursuit of wisdom. He was given over to the pursuit of godly wisdom, and he reflected deeply on human life and this sinful world. This was a man who lived about 1,000 years before us. Jesus lived about 2,000 years before us. So we're talking about wisdom that has matured, that has been with us for 3,000 years. And if you've ever spent time with this book, you probably remember some important words and phrases that are often repeated and that cropped up in this chapter. One word in particular stands out: vanity. Vanity. Some translations say meaningless. They go a little step further in translating, or try to mock a little bit. Vanity. You know that vanity has to do with a couple different definitions. There's one that has to do with pride. You know, I'm very vain and I'm full of myself. Not so much that one in this chapter that we're dealing with. We're dealing rather with the definition of vanity that has to do with worthlessness or pointlessness. The idea of being futile, of being useless. And like the author, we are very likely to be set and to be troubled by many things around us that are full of vanity. So in addition to one important word, vanity, there's also this phrase that crops up several times in this book that appears also in this chapter, under the sun. And I believe the author uses this phrase similar to the way that Christ and the apostles use the term the world when they taught. The author here, when he talks about life under the sun, is driving us towards an understanding of this world that's full of vanity, this world that opposes God's wisdom.